Mr. Ocasek.
May it please the court, actually I'm Peter Nolte, here on behalf of Vicki Weber. This case initially presents an issue with regard to the indictment under which she was prosecuted.
We're having a problem with lawyers who don't speak up, who mumble.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's our position in this case that the indictment under which she was prosecuted omitted an element of felony liability, specifically that her alleged false statements caused her to receive in excess of $1,000 in workers' compensation benefits.
Given the sentence she received, why is this important to your client?
Well, because at sentencing, the nature of the offense is something that the guidelines require the court to consider in imposing imposing a sentence. Clearly, for felony liability, the sentence she got was the low end. I won't sit here and deny that.
Pretty much the low end, period, wasn't it? And she got a very low sentence.
Yes, she did. That's not to say, however, that had Judge Reinhard been sentencing her as a misdemeanor, that the sentence wouldn't have even been less than it ultimately was in the case that's before you.
But you're not suggesting that Judge Reinhard was unaware of any material fact, was he? He knew the jury hadn't made a $1,000 finding, and he knew that the amount in question was in fact over $1,000. Now, those were things he could have considered no matter what. Is that not so?
Well, yes. But I guess as I stand here before you, I can't tell you that that would lead Judge Reinhard to the same sentence were this a misdemeanor as opposed to
the
felony.
Same conviction and all the facts are the same, why would it lead him to change his sentence?
Well, I don't know, and I can't tell you because...
But that's kind of like saying, yeah, but if it went back, he might be sentenced on a Thursday, and previously he was sentenced on a Wednesday.
Well, as I indicated, the guidelines require that the nature...
What would you argue to him if it went back?
I beg your pardon?
How would you argue for a lighter sentence?
Quite honestly, I don't know. I didn't argue for this sentence.
I know, but you go back, and if we reversed and new sentencing, so what would you say to Judge Reinhard?
Well, one of the things I guess I would say would be that that you, under the guidelines, considering the fact that this is a misdemeanor, that's something that would militate for a lower sentence. It's a factor.
Well, why? If he's permitted to find as a fact that it was more than $1,000, then why would he want to give her a lighter sentence?
I'm not saying that he definitely would, but he might.
Why? Suppose he were confident it was more than $1,000.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Suppose he were really confident. He was certain it was more
than $1,000. He said it's certain it's more than $1,000. He already said that at sentencing.
So he's certain, and therefore what difference would it make that he thought it was, he found it as a certainty rather than the jury?
Well, it's, I guess the...
I mean, aren't you being unrealistic?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you being very unrealistic?
Well, I hope not.
But you have nothing you could say to him in a resentencing hearing.
Well,
if he asked you, why should I... Suppose I'm Judge Reinhard, and I say, look, I found I was certain, I'm still certain it was more than $1,000. Why, therefore, should I change the sentence? What would you say to me?
Well, I guess I would say to him that in considering, even though the amount in question may be more than $1,000...
Not maybe. I said I'm certain that it's more
certain,
than... Yes.
Certainly more than $1,000. that is not what can necessarily the only thing that controls a sentence, and given the fact that this
oh,
is
wait,
not...
whatever else controls the sentence, you had an opportunity to argue the first time. There's nothing new that's come up. The only thing new that come up is the, you know, that the reclassification of the offense. So what do you say to him?
Well, there are other options available for a misdemeanor sentence as well, but he clearly didn't consider in sentencing her as a felon.
Well, now he considers it, and he's, of course, certain that she's a felon. So why should he give her a lighter sentence?
That he's certain that she's a felon, you said?
Yeah, because he's certain that it was more than $1,000.
Well, he's required to sentence her as a misdemeanor if in
no,
fact...
No.
He's required to give her a sentence less than a year, which he did.
Yes, he did. A sentence of imprisonment less than a year. But he could...
You have absolutely no argument, not about what he could do, what he should do.
Well, what he should do... Well, I can't say what he should do. All I can say is that the fact is that...
You have no argument to him why he should change the sentence. Zero argument.
Other than...
That's not an argument. Well, I should have let you finish your sentence, but I think you were going to repeat what you said before. So this is a harmless error. It was an error.
Well, I disagree with that, because... As I said, we don't know what Judge Reinhardt would do.
I don't understand you. We assume Judge Reinhardt is a rational person.
Absolutely.
And so he would only change his mind if there was a reason to change his mind. And you haven't given a reason why he should change his mind.
Well, I guess I will repeat myself, and that is that the guidelines state that one of the factors to be considered is whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor.
In fact, not only reason, but it would be unreasonable for him to change his mind because the duty to consider the 3553A factors, that it works for the government as well as for the defendant. So how would he justify changing his mind? Could he go through the factors and say, yes, I was wrong to give this sentence because... I look at deterrence, retribution, and so on and so forth. It was too severe. How could he say that just because of when no fact had changed?
Well, I would be comfortable in making the argument to him, Judge. I haven't heard
the argument yet.
That
the argument is that although nothing has changed, he should change his sentence.
Well, except that something has changed. The classification of the offense is now different. And even though the sentence he gave... is one that could be imposed for a misdemeanor. It's not necessarily one that I can, or anybody I think can say that he would. And I think Ms. Weber is entitled to give Judge Reinhardt the opportunity. The other issue I guess I'd like to talk about this morning is the admonishments that the Judge Reinhardt gave to the jury with regard to evidence that other employees at the Byron Post Office were aware that Ms. Weber was engaged in or lived on the property at which the Clearview Pond was operating. The judge agreed that the question of other person's knowledge was not a defense to the materiality aspect of the case. But in admonishing the jury on four or five different occasions, went farther than that and basically said that the fact that other people might have known was simply not a defense. And we believe that that went too far. And the fact that other people might have known bore on her intent, on the willfulness aspect of the charge, and essentially told the jury to disregard what we believe was relevant evidence on what might have been the most significant issue, at least as far as the defense is concerned in the case. The government points out that in argument there was some reference to the fact that other people knew, but...
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Versman.
May it please the Court, Scott Versman on behalf of the United States. I just want to briefly respond to the point that was being discussed with counsel regarding the sentence that would have been imposed, assuming that there's error here. The sentence that would have been imposed, or the sentence that was imposed, the five-month sentence, was within the what was appropriate for a misdemeanor. 5 months is obviously less than 1 year statutory maximum for the misdemeanor. In addition, I'd also like to point out to the Court, as we've indicated in our brief, that Judge Reinhart did state at the sentencing hearing that if the defendant had been convicted under the misdemeanor provision of the statute, he would have imposed the same sentence. That's cited on page 30 of our brief at the transcript of the May 9th proceeding at page 6. So we agree that any error here was harmless. The sentence would have been the same. There are no facts that would have been different in sentencing if it was a felony versus a misdemeanor. With regard to the second issue...
What is the Department of Justice's position on who bears the burden on this $1,000 question? Is it something the prosecutor has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, or is it an affirmative defense for the defendant to raise and prove?
Your Honor, I believe under Apprendi it is something...
Not a question about Apprendi. I'm asking what is the position of the Department of Justice about the meaning of this statute. Statute means what it means. We can ask later whether it's constitutional, though I don't think Apprendi holds that affirmative defenses are unconstitutional. I'm just interested in the Department of Justice's view about whether this is an element of a felony offense or an affirmative defense.
It is my position that it is neither.
I didn't ask about your position either. I asked about the Department of Justice's position. Does it have one? It's possible it has none.
I have not consulted with the Department of Washington, Department of Justice in Washington on this particular issue, but it's...
Is something covered in the U.S. Attorney's manual or any other instructions? Has this come up in other circuits? Has the Solicitor General opined on this to the Supreme Court?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. I would go back to the case law that has affirmatively stated that...
I didn't ask about the case law either. The case law will tell you the position of the judicial branch. I wanted to find out the position of the executive branch.
The position of the executive branch in this case is that it's neither, Your Honor.
It's either one or the other.
It
could easily be an affirmative defense, but... No point in tracking this down at the moment.
Counsel, could you address the forfeiture matter? It seems to be, I'm having difficulty with the fact that the amount of loss here was computed at $10,400. And yet, the amount of the forfeiture was, what, $62,226, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
I don't understand the difference. And I don't understand where this $10,000 figure came from either.
Your Honor, the $10,000 figure was found by the court for purposes of the sentencing guidelines. And how the district court got there was to apply the case law from the other circuits in terms of how you calculate loss to the government under Section 1920. And that is, for purposes of the guidelines, loss is the amount of that the government actually paid minus the amount it would have paid but if the defendant had been truthful. So that is the loss for purposes of sentencing guidelines. And what that basically boils down to under the formulas that are applicable for determining the amount of benefits a person is entitled to, that basically boils down to the court having to determine what the defendant's wage-earning capacity was. So At sentencing, then, the district court took a very minimalist approach and said that, okay, based on all the evidence, at the very least, she had the ability to perform clerical functions. At the very least, she had the ability to earn minimum wage on a part-time basis. Therefore, based on those factors over the 24-month period covered by the forms, I find that the loss for sentencing guidelines is $10,400. Now, as far as the restitution
figure, if she had worked part-time in a capacity, low-level clerical capacity, and made some money, that would have been deducted from her disability? Is that the...
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that what would have happened?
Yes, Your Honor. And specifically, when a claimant is determined to be totally disabled, basically they're entitled to 75% of their federal wages. But in this case, the defendant, to the extent she had a disability, was only partially disabled because she had some wage earning capacity because she was able to do what she was doing. In that context, the amount of benefits the person is entitled to is 75% of their federal wages minus their wage earning capacity.
Okay, and I interrupted you. You were going to tell me about why the forfeiture is as high as it is.
Yes, Your Honor. The reason the forfeiture is as high as it is because of the federal statute relating to forfeiture of benefits under Section 1920, and that's Section 8148, which states that any person convicted of a Section 1920 offense forfeits any entitlement to any Federal Employee Compensation Act benefits for the injury occurring before the date of the conviction. And then that statute is implemented by a federal regulation, 20 CFR Section 10.529. And that the regulation implementing that states if a claimant knowingly omits any work activity on one of their forms, they forfeit the right to compensation for the period covered by the report. And as the Fifth Circuit held in Harms, based on the plain language of this regulation, then the restitution in a case like this is the amount of benefits that were paid to the claimant during the time periods covered by the false forms. And the amount of benefits that were paid to Ms. Weber during the time period covered by the forms here was the $62,000 figure.
So you're taking money from her that you've just admitted earlier in the process, i.e. in determining the $10,000 loss that you said she had a right to keep. You're punishing her, in other words, because she made a false statement. You're upping the forfeiture. Is that what you're doing?
When you said she had a right to keep, Your Honor, under the statute, once a person makes a false statement on one of these forms, they forfeit their right to any benefit received under the Federal Employees Compensation Act. So I would argue that once she made that false statement, she had no right to any benefits. And under the regulation, therefore, the restitution should be the amount that...
The regulation is pursuant to the restitution statute, am I correct? Not pursuant to any civil liability under the Government Disability Act.
The regulation, Your Honor, is implementing the FICA forfeiture provision.
Okay.
So it's under the Federal Employees Compensation Act.
Oh, I see. Well, should that be a criminal forfeiture then? Or should that be something that's handled civilly by the United States government? It's a matter of discretion.
I think it should be a matter for restitution, Your Honor, based on the court.
Restitution was not ordered here. This was forfeiture. They're different.
Actually, Your Honor, it was restitution ordered in the amount required by the forfeiture statute.
Yeah, but it seems to me what you're doing here is making a civil forfeiture into a criminal forfeiture. I mean, there's the act is a penalty under the FECA if you make a false statement, and the government, I presume, can proceed against an employee without any criminal matter ever being brought up. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Right. What you folks did was you imported that civil remedy into this criminal action. Am I correct?
That is correct, Your Honor, but I believe it is appropriate when you look at the purposes of restitution, and I look at the court's case, this court's case in George, in which this court stated that the restitution is not criminal punishment. It is a civil remedy administered for the convenience by the courts that have entered criminal judgments. So in effect, as I read that language, the restitution enables the victims to have a judgment to recover what they're owed, in addition to saving the courts the additional time of having to litigate a separate civil case based on the same facts. So it's a matter of judicial economy and to give restitution to the victims without requiring them to engage in further litigation. And when you look at it in the context of what restitution is designed for, as stated in the court's case in George, I think it's appropriate what was done here by the court to impose that full $62,000 figure. I see my time is up. If there are no further questions, I will.
Right. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.